Com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We return. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. David Halpern is our guest. So the question on the table is, if UFOs are not quite physical, how do you explain the physical evidence that's out there?
Can you give me some specific examples of the physical evidence?
Okay, let's look at radar visual sightings. You see something strange in the sky, you track it on radar. Is that real or Memorex or what?
I don't know. Now, I am going to admit here a great weakness of my approach. And that is, do you remember Lex Mebane from the old days of ufology?
Okay, Lex Mebane was one of the executives of an organization called CSI of New York. This is before we had the CSI show about crime scene investigators. It was one of the more scientific UFO investigative organizations. They had a body of great information. This goes back to the 50s and 60s, the organization was around.
Yeah. Now, I remember when I was a kid, a teen ufologist, reading an article of his in which he wrote very trenchantly. He said, of course, skeptics don't read sighting reports. 9 out of 10 insist on arguing in generalizations and couldn't tell a good sighting from a poor one if their lives depended on it. And I remember thinking, you know, this guy is absolutely on target, and this is what we have to cope with. Skeptics who are ignorant of the data and don't want to be familiar with it. Now, I am in the position of exactly those people whom Mebane criticized and whom I resented so badly. I am persuaded on, let's say, a priori grounds that the UFOs are wildly unlikely that they're extraterrestrial vehicles. Having come being at that belief, holding that belief, I do not spend time studying the reports that might convince me otherwise, but rather dismiss them by saying, there must be some explanation. I don't know what it is in each case, and perhaps in many cases I would never, no matter how I studied it, know what that explanation is, but there must be an explanation. You remember, Gene, that case, that landing with physical traces that you and I crossed swords about?
Tell our listeners about this, because this is interesting, of course. Now, understand, David and I were very good friends as teenagers, but we had sort of a falling out, publicly, as a matter of fact, over a single case in New Jersey. Tell them about the case and about what you discovered.
Okay, what the case was, it was at Glassboro, New Jersey, in the fall of 65. Glassboro later became famous, I think in 68, when Lyndon Johnson and I think Kosygin had a summit there. But in 65, it was simply a sleepy town in South Jersey until a UFO landed there and left, I think, a central hole, 3 smaller holes that were pushed into the ground, not dug, as was determined by some investigators, I'm not sure how, by a tripod that had rested there. A branch of a tree had been broken by the UFO that landed. And I remember, Gene, you and I debated that case in public, and you had the temerity to say that it was a hoax. And I defended strongly its authenticity, even though the young man who had dug the holes set off the cherry bomb and told the boys who later made the report that he had seen something land, even though he had confessed.
I remember that, yes.
I mean, I was sure that his confession was like, well, you know, all sorts of people confess to murders just to get in the newspapers. Now, in retrospect, I can see that was absolute nonsense.
So this is a public apology.
Not exactly an apology, an admission that I was wrong and you were right.
Well, I like to be right sometimes, but you know, I respect what you say because I appreciate your intellectual honesty. because I think some of the problems we have in the UFO field, far too many people, you know what they're going to do? They'll go there and they'll insist till their dying day that an event is true, even though it's not.
Right, because really, how often do UFOs land in a place that was an easy bus ride from Levittown, Pennsylvania, where I grew up? It had to be real. Okay, now this is, I think we can go into my motives for believing that so strongly in much more depth. But I guess for the moment, I'm using that to illustrate that at least in some cases of physical evidence, it really is not so. Now, you or Jerry or somebody who knows the evidence much better than I do can present me with other cases which I cannot dismiss so easily. So what am I going to do? Do I have, and perhaps this is the basic epistemological question, do I have the right to say that given that the arguments against the physical reality of UFOs seem so strong to me, given that, do I have the right to say dogmatically there must be a natural explanation, be it hoaxes, misinterpretations, whatever, or conceivably some natural phenomenon we don't yet fully understand, that there must be some such explanation, even if I can't point to it. I can understand and respect those who say that this is closed-minded dogmatism. I would continue to maintain that it's legitimate and that it's what I need to do if I'm to reserve my powers and my time for the questions that I find interesting.
You know, one thing, David, that you could say is you can say, well, okay, this is an unknown phenomenon. We don't know what causes it, and it's possible that phenomenon can cause physical effects even if there's no ET.
Yeah, and when you think about it, to say that it's ET is not much different from that. Because I remember when I was a kid, people would say to me, hey, if we had these visitors from other planets, would they just zip around our skies? Wouldn't they announce themselves somehow? Would this go on year after year? And I always had the same counter argument. It's that we don't know what their position is, therefore we can't put ourselves in their position and ask what would they be likely to do. Now, that always seemed to me a convincing counter argument. I did not grasp that once you say that, calling UFOs extraterrestrial spaceships has no explanatory power whatsoever, because nothing follows from it.
Well, yeah, this is, you know, I'm of two minds here. I think we're dealing with a multifarious phenomena. And, you know, there are cases, very good cases, where physical evidence appears to have been obtained. I know Ted Phillips investigated a case in Delphos, Kansas, that left behind fluorescing material that fluoresced, I think, for about a half a day or 18 hours after the object was there. And we've had vitrified soil. We've, Ray Stanford at the Socorro case came up with some incredible evidence, paper with what appear to be particle beam type burns in it, smoking rabbit brush and chamisa was seen around the landing site by Lonnie Zamora. Samples of the charred plants were taken. I think we do have a body of cases that do reflect some sort of physicality. But again, I'm disagreeing with you on one hand, but I'm also agreeing with you on another hand. I don't see this mystery as being fully manifest as a nuts and bolts phenomenon. And that's not saying that we don't have cases that you know, we obviously have cases that are, I think, very physical in nature, but that's why it makes this whole thing so confusing and so intriguing, at least for people like ourselves here. It's always going to keep you guessing. As soon as you think you have it pinned down, it supplies you with the data to refute any theories or any leanings that you might have. So I do think that there are physical cases, but I think not all of them are.
And we'll get into more of those details in a moment with Dave Halpern and his response. We're going to phrase as a cliffhanger. We're going to make his response a cliffhanger because that's the way radio goes, you know? And that way you'll tune in after the announcements and after we take care of a few pieces of business to find out what he's talking about and what he has to say about what Chris commented on with regard to physical trace evidence. Dave Halperin is the author of a book called Journal of a UFO Investigator, coming out this month, a novel. I'm Gene Steinberg. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. You're in
the Paracast.
You expect professional service from your doctor, your accountant, and even the girl who takes your morning coffee order. Why not from your domain registrar, too? Namecheap.com provides stellar service with no sneaky upselling. We offer more features and security options for your website than there are ways to order a latte. And new domains come with WhoisGuard to protect your personal info. At Namecheap.com, you can get your domain for as low as $2.99. Now is a great time to get to know Namecheap.com.
Hey neighbors, Nuance offers Dragon speech recognition for a variety of platforms. Dragon Dictate for Mac, Dragon Naturally Speaking 11 for Windows, and Dragon mobile apps for BlackBerry, iPhone, and iPad. No matter how you compute, Dragon instantly converts what you say into text, helping you be more productive just by talking. Find out more at GetDragon.com. That's GetDragon.com. GetDragon.com.
Peter Crouch novel from Midas Resources. Today is February 4th, 2011. Gold opened this morning at $13.5010. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $13.8526, $692.63 for a half ounce, and $346.32 for a quarter ounce. $13.8526, $692.63, and $346.32.
The Constitution and the Bill of Rights have been reduced to old relics politicians ignore, trample with their outlandish, overreaching policies. Your support of the Campaign for Liberty stands in the way of this insidious process. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I've teamed up with the Campaign for Liberty to offer the authentic proof quarter-ounce pure gold coin. For only $390 plus shipping, Midas will donate $100 to this incredible organization. Help fight big government by ordering your gold coin at 800-686-2237. You get to win twice by owning gold and fighting an overreaching government. Call 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
This message starts with a great offer from Big Berkey Water Filters, because we don't want you drinking dangerous water 1 minute longer. Right now, purchase any filter system from BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com to get your choice of two Berkey Sport bottles, a KDF shower filter, a set of fluoride filters, or our new sight glass spigot absolutely free. Why do this? Because over 60% of municipal water is fluoridated, and at less than 2 cents per gallon, Berkey Water Filters purify both treated and untreated water, removing dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and other contaminants. Big Berkey water filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, so they're perfect for rainwater collection systems and emergency preparedness. Remember, Big Berkey includes free shipping on every order over $50. And GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call today 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you want to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out on iTunes.
We return with David Halperin, author of Journal of a UFO Investigator, a novel. Our co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the PowerCast. Okay, David, I put it to you, the physical traces that Chris is talking about. Okay, is it still some kind of mental phenomenon? Can we create reality, you know, with our minds or some external force like that?
I don't think so, at least not in the way that we would have to be to explain UFO traces. Now, there is an extraordinary book, which I read about 25 years ago. I don't know if either of you are familiar with it, by Morton Schatzman, called The Story of Ruth, about a psychiatrist, and he dealt with a woman patient who had been sexually abused in her childhood, who was totally functional in her adult life. She had just one very unusual property. She was able to hallucinate things, including in his office, which he and she agreed were not physically present, and yet which she experienced as though they were. At one point, I think she tried the experiment, I think at home, I don't think it was in his office, of when her husband was away hallucinating her husband and having very good sex with the hallucinated husband.
And she should get workshops.
Yeah. And at one point, Schatzman, and this is the thing I most remember of the book, Schatzman quotes a line from Hamlet where Hamlet sees his father's ghost and he's in his mother's presence, and he says to her, "Do you see nothing?" And she says, "I see nothing, yet all there is I see." And Schatzman asks, "I wonder, how did she know that all there is I see?" So I think this book puts into question what our minds can construct of reality, and yet to go so far as to say that our psychological constructions can make holes in the ground, that I would not do. I think Jung himself, in his classic book on flying saucers, says that he doesn't understand how archetypal phenomena can appear on radar screens.
Well, how about something, let's change our focus here a little bit onto another seemingly miraculous type of manifestation of phenomenon, and that would be stigmata. I go back to Padre Pio and some of this stigmata, the stigmatists, I'm not sure how you would say plural, but we do have a pretty good evidence that stigmata is a real thing. Padre Pio, of course, the famous priest back in the 50s and 60s, was examined by scientists, and he did indeed have supposedly the wounds of Christ. Now, David, would you think that this is a spontaneous manifestation of faith? Could this be such a psychological fixation on piety and the rest of it that he could actually physically manifest these wounds? Or do you think it's something that's miraculous, or something that cannot be explained with modern psychology or modern science?
I don't know that those are the only two alternatives. How about if we consider the possibility it might be a perfectly natural phenomenon that's outside the bounds of modern medical thought? But that may be within its bounds in the 22nd or 23rd century.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, there's always that possibility, but it seems pretty interesting that the wound should correspond with the supposed wounds of Christ and the rest of it. I personally feel that it's probably some sort of psychosomatic effect of extreme devotion and piety and this will to want it so bad subconsciously that it actually occurs.
I would agree. I would completely agree. My only caveat would be that I do not know that we yet understand the mechanism.
Right. Well, how about if we compound that? How about if we compound that ability of one person to very remarkably affect their own physical body? What's to say that the collective human psyche couldn't manifest a real phenomenon. You know, this is something that I don't think enough people have done work on it, as it relates to the paranormal, as it relates to UFOs. We do suspect that young, troubled adolescent girls tend to be the ones that are at the center of a poltergeist outbreak. Here's another example of physical manifestation of phenomena that seems to be centered around a triggering individual. And, you know, I think quite a bit of study has been done over the years, actually for over 100 years, on the poltergeist phenomena. And there does seem to be what appears to be a relationship between young adolescents and the manifestation of poltergeist type effects. So I think that there's wiggle room on both sides of this particular argument.
Well, I mean, Freud's favorite quotation was, "There are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than dreamt of in your philosophy."
And then there's probably even more than that.
Yeah. Do you know the story about Freud and that quotation? It's told in the unabridged version of Jones's biography of Freud, that Ernest Jones, one of Freud's early disciples, was sitting up late with him. I guess they were up 2 and 3 in the morning, and Freud was telling ghost stories. And Jones kept saying, no, this can't be. You can't believe this. And Freud just kept saying, "There are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than dreamt of in your philosophy." And finally, Jones said, "Look, if you start believing in this stuff, you're going to start believing in angels." And Freud says, "Yes, and even der liebe Herr, the good Lord." And Jones said afterwards, "I assumed he was being ironic, but there was a strange look in his eye that gave me pause." So I think I will be like that 3 o'clock in the morning Freud.
Well, you know what? Alan Greenfield and I at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, strange 3 o'clock in the morning, decided that UFOs were really beings and craft from other dimensions. And we looked at this book, this classic fantasy fiction book called The Incomplete Enchanter. On the base of that, which I guess was 2 short novels in one book, as I recall, I read this thing, you know, 12,000 years ago. And we came up with this theory, and then everybody was talking about UFOs from other dimensions. So maybe we caught a wave, but who knows? There's another interesting phenomenon in the UFO field, and it relates to something where you had a connection between ancient ascension traditions and UFO abductions. And I'm going to want to ask you about that when we return. We have David Halperin. He's author of a book, a novel called Journal of a UFO Investigator, about the teen UFO, as they say, experience fictionalized. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from some many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You can download a version that is mostly full featured. Try it out, and if you like it, it's just $34.95 for Graphic Converter from LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com for my favorite Graphic Converter.
If you own a septic system, or if you're facing costly septic system replacement, this message is for you. When you want to stop paying for pump outs and avoid backups, when you've had enough of the foul odors and costly repairs, use BioSafe One Septic Solution. Now there's an easy-to-use, 100% guaranteed answer to all your septic system problems. BioSafe One Septic Solution. BioSafe One is patented and made specifically for all septic systems, and made by the same team of scientists who helped clean up the Exxon Valdez oil spill. BioSafe 1 decontaminates and removes sludge, stops costly pumpouts and repairs, and removes septic system stench, all with a 100% success rate. See what gives BioSafe 1 Septic Solution the advantage over any other septic product at BioSafe1.com. That's BioSafeOne.com. BioSafe1.com. Or call toll-free 1-866-424-6663. That's 1-866-424-6663. BioSafe 1, the guaranteed bio-friendly, money-saving way to clean your septic system.
Where have all the military surplus stores gone? Don't worry, you don't need one. Because everything you need at Military Surplus is at MaineMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, Military.com. One of the last surviving true military surplus stores in the country. Go online now to MaineMilitary.com and discover a source for hard-to-find surplus items at true surplus prices. Surplus gun cleaning kits as low as $2.99. Complete chemical suits as low as $11.99. See our huge selection of gas masks, filters, and accessories. Finish at M10 gas masks are 3 for $30, and Swiss filters are 3 for $12. Searching for strike anywhere matches? MaineMilitary.com has them, plus a whole new product line of survival and first aid kits and lots more. Get free shipping on orders over $50 only at MaineMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E Military.com, or call 877-608-0179, 877-608-0179. MaineMilitary.com, the main name in military supply. At hempusa.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our Microplant Powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant Powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We have David Halperin joining us. I don't think he's ever been on a paranormal radio show before. Is that correct, David?
That is correct.
This is your debut. After this, it'll be the last you ever do. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberger in the Paracast. So you're telling me here you wrote this paper,
yeah,
comparing the ancient ascension traditions to UFO abductions. I bring it up because there's a big controversy in the UFO field now, as there always is a controversy, this one, about the abductions and methodology of two well-known researchers, Dr. David Jacobs from Temple University and, of course, Bud Hopkins. But let's not talk about that so much as this paper. How do you stage this comparison, David?
Yeah, well, I think I'm going to have to introduce two Hebrew words here. And one of them is Merkava. That's, you can spell that in English letters as M-E-R-K-A-V-A-H. And the other is Hechalot, H-E-K-H-A-L-O-T. And the K-H is pronounced as if you're clearing your throat. Now, the Merkava is Hebrew for chariot, and it's usually used to refer to the thing that Ezekiel saw in that vision we're talking about. Now, in ancient times, in the first two or perhaps three centuries of the Christian era, the rabbis who put Judaism into the form that we know it today spoke of the Merkava as being a topic that people must not study. You can't study it at all unless you're wise and can understand on your own. It's really pretty dangerous to get involved in it. One boy studied part of the details of Ezekiel's chariot, and fire came forth from that part of the chariot and devoured him. Okay, now, at some point, there seem to have been people who carried that fascination with Ezekiel's chariot to actually attempt a shamanic type journey to visit it. And by shamanic type, I mean that your body stays still, your soul wanders, and you go to see for yourself the things that Ezekiel saw. Or as I would say, you hallucinate seeing for yourself the things that Ezekiel saw. And there are a number of very strange texts coming down to us. They're in Hebrew. They seem to have been written sometime around the 5th, 6th centuries of the Christian era, called the Hechalot texts, that give descriptions of the worlds of the Merkava, the worlds of the chariot, all the angels, the fiery rivers, all sorts of weird stuff associated with it, and the hymns and the songs that you speak when you want to journey to the chariot, which very oddly is called going down to the chariot. You'd think you'd be going the other way. But they speak of going down to, when you go to the chariot, going back when you're coming back. Now, it seemed to me that these journeys to the chariot are very much like what modern abductees describe when they're taken to the UFO. As with the UFO abductions, they don't fly in the chariot. They don't ride in the chariot. The chariot is the goal of the journey. As in modern UFO abductions, the feature of eyes, that is E-Y-E-S, huge and terrifying, play an important role. And as in the UFO abductions, the situation of the trance is important. We have, I think there's only one really clear example of this from the ancient Hebrew Hechalot text, but it describes how the participants are in a circle, and one of them is going on this trance journey to the chariot, and he's reporting on what he sees, which is very much like what you see in transcripts of these hypnotic sessions, in which the abductee describes his or her experience and relives it in the situation. And I asked, how are we going to explain these resemblances? Now, I don't know whether it was the question that shocked the person who read my paper, whom I'll talk about in a moment, or whether it was the answer I gave, and I gave it as a provisional answer, a working hypothesis that we're dealing with screen memories of actual experiences of sexual abuse. I don't know whether it was the question, I don't know whether it was the answer, but when I sent the paper out to a very distinguished Journal of Religious Studies, it was sent to one referee, contrary to the almost universal principle of sending it to two referees, and the referee wrote back without any explanation that if I meant this paper seriously, I should be subject to prosecution for criminal malpractice.
No, you're kidding me.
Not a bit. Not a bit.
Oh, my goodness. So much for the openness of academia, huh?
Okay, so this is very interesting to me. Okay, so you raise the specter of some kind of sexual abuse. Now, that means, again, that we should have psychiatrists examining these abductees about their early history to see where this abuse may have occurred. Now, is there any basic empirical evidence that this is the case?
That in C.D.B. Bryan's Close Encounters of the Fourth Kind, Bud Hopkins, this I find just an incredible resource. There are extended transcripts of Bud Hopkins's interviews with two women who speak of abduction, and one of them has a fairly explicit memories of having been molested by her father, and Hopkins tries, not very successfully, to convince her that molestation was actually carried out by UFO aliens while her father watched helplessly.
Okay, so let's just really summarize this very quickly here as we go on. Okay, so when someone says, oh, E.T. took me aboard their spaceship, and they took sexual samples, or I had intercourse with an alien, this is a reflection in your mind of reinterpreting this horrible sexual abuse at some point in your life.
Yes, I offered that as a working hypothesis, and I want to stress that. Because although I was able to give you, to answer your challenge in terms of giving empirical evidence, I cannot do it across the board. And in fact, you mentioned two of the most distinguished hypnotists who work with UFO abductions. There is a third, of course, that we need to mention, who was in fact, he's now deceased through a tragic accident. This is John Mack, who was professor of psychiatry at Harvard. And Mac does raise the possibility that we're dealing with screen memories of sexual abuse. He doesn't believe it, and I would take, given his expertise, I would take that, his doubt very seriously. But at the same time, I see many cases where there are just intriguing details in the abduction stories that he presents that one would expect a psychiatrist to follow up on, and he does not.
Isn't that unfortunate, too? I mean, whether you agree with the methods of David Jacobs and Bud Hopkins, I mean, I get the sense they're sincere in what they're doing, but the problem being here, and the criticism I make so often of them, is that we need professional therapists to look into these cases. If it's not E.T., abducting us, if there's something else going on in the life histories of these people, you know, they're troubled people. They need some sort of help, and we need to provide it, and evidently they're not getting the kind of help they need. We're helping explain a lot of things here with David Halperin. The book is called Journal of a UFO Investigator. It is a novel, ladies and gentlemen, which means, you know, maybe it's based on fact, ripped from the headlines or their life experiences, but still fiction. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy, a thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockoids, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition.
Extend your life.
Hi, I'm Don Wiskin, and have you ever wondered what the garlic cayenne drops could do for you? February is Heart Month, and we want you to find out just what can happen when you take the right combination of herbs designed to maintain our cardiovascular health. Purchase a 4-month supply of Extendivite drops or capsules, plus get a bonus month supply of capsules for only $125 plus shipping. That's 5 months worth of Extendivite for $25 per month. This is a Heart Month special to help get you started on your path to better health and ends February 28th. So don't be left out. Find out what Extendivite can do for you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
If you're serious about playing college football, give yourself the competitive edge with the National Underclassmen Football Combine. The NUC is the longest-running underclassmen event and the most respected combine and football camp in the nation. Specifically designed to give athletes early recruiting exposure, there's no better time than now to compete in the National Underclassmen Football Combine. Call 888-NUC-MVP1 or go to nationalunderclassmen.com to find out more.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Alley C. Why Alley C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Alley C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Alley C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Alley C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Alley C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Alley C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Alley C. For more information and to order Alley C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Alley C today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
You're in the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
We return with David Halperin, and we're talking about UFO abductions. You're in the Paracast with Gene Steinberg and Chris O'Brien. So, okay, I guess the point I raised here that you were about to answer, David, is that we should be getting professionals in there. These people have problems, even if it's ET, if it's not ET, if it's some psychological disturbance, if it is sexual abuse, it's real serious. We got to deal with it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. For all I know, it does help them to believe that these are UFO abductions and to be taken seriously by people like Hopkins or David Jacobs, who is a pretty distinguished scholar in his own right. I think he's professor of history at Temple University, and the late John Mack. So I don't know that any harm is being done to, has been done to these people by the people who've seen them as being abducted by aliens. At the same time, it's possible to question whether there's another interpretation of the data. And to me, one of the primary data is the intense emotional reality that these experiences seem to have for the people, which goes back to the beginning of the abduction to the tradition, to Betty and Barney Hill, and to everybody seems to concede, that Barney Hill, when he started recovering the memories of his abduction, was in a state of utter terror. The psychiatrist, who had not one bit of belief in the reality of the abduction, the psychiatrist said he was afraid that Barney Hill was going to throw himself out the office window. He was so scared. So we've got to find some way to account for the intense the reality of the emotional reaction.
Okay, so you're suggesting that maybe there's a possibility that both Barney and Betty Hill were subject to some kind of sexual abuse, both of them?
Possibly, or possibly Barney, because I'm drawing on Philip Klaus, who I know is the late Philip Klaus. Klaus was a very convinced UFO skeptic, and of course Klaus stresses that when he listens to the tapes of Betty Hill, it sounds like she's just going to the store. But he acknowledges that Barney Hill had gone through some absolutely wrenching experience. What it was, I do not know. Now, with Betty, and I've given as my working hypothesis that it's some sort of sexual trauma, but with Betty and Barney Hill, who are the beginning of the UFO abduction tradition, we've got another issue that comes in and that I think complements what I heard, the idea of sexual trauma, and that is that Barney was black, Betty was white. And if I ask, how did Barney's ancestors come to this country? My guess would be that they were abducted in the middle of the night and taken to a waiting ship.
And that's a very interesting insight. So you're saying there could be some sort of generational process going on where he's got some sort of genetic memory even of a traumatic event that then is manifested in this particular on this particular roadside in New Hampshire. It sounds interesting in theory. I'm not sure if it's workable. You'd have to establish a link between, you know, his great-great-great-grandparents or however many generations back it would be, and his actual, his actual experience. I think the fact that the two of them in the early 60s being together as an interracial couple, I've always felt that that's a point that needs to be looked at, I think. But in the overall working hypothesis that you have here about sexual trauma, repressed sexual trauma, and the manifestation of screen imaging to sort of give us this abduction scenario, I'm not sure it may work, at least in my mind. It may work for, you know, a sizable percentage of cases, but it's not going to explain all of them by any stretch. I do sense a very deeply psychological liminal element that's involved in the abduction phenomena, but I don't think that repressed sexual angst is going to explain all your cases. There's just too many good quality cases out there with too much documentation about a person's personal history for that to be an overarching explanation. What other types of psychological scenarios could we look at to possibly explain maybe some of these other cases?
I don't know. But I think you would agree, would you not, that the sexual element in the abduction stories tends to be extremely strong?
Yes, it is. It's a theme that tends to run through a majority of cases. Not all. But you do have that, what appears on the surface to be a fascination with the human sexual organs, which I find kind of strange. Terrence McKenna came up with a pretty interesting comment. He said he had a hard time believing that there were pro bono proctologists coming to make unannounced house calls from another planet. And that's always been something that's kind of annoyed me about the whole mystery, is that there does seem to be this preoccupation with human sexuality and these medieval quality experiments that go on that don't even reflect the level of technology that you know we have now today in the modern world. And if they're so far advanced of us, why are they stooping to levels of medical procedures that aren't even up to our standards? So there is definitely, I think I agree with you, there is definitely some psychological aspect to many of these cases, and it does seem to center around some sort of sexual trauma. I do agree. But again, it's not a blanket explanation. It's not a one-size-fits-all explanation.
No, I would agree. I would agree. That was why I was so tentative in my putting it forth. I think I felt like I was shining a flashlight into the darkness. And I don't claim that it illuminated every corner of it. But, yeah. Chris, I wanted to go back to, because this reminds me of your stigmata. You remember the story of Barney Hill, that one of the symptoms, I mean, among the symptoms that drove him and Betty to seek psychiatric help, there were some really serious ones, like high blood pressure, ulcers, but there was also one minor but distinctly weird symptom, which was an almost perfect circle of warts that appeared around his groin, which in his recollections, in the memories that came up, were associated with some sort of a suction cup that was put over his genitalia.
Yeah, that's a detail I kind of forgot, but now that you mention it, it rings a bell. You know, you could come up with other explanations for genital warts in a circular fashion. I won't go there. yeah, that is a detail that you don't hear very often when people bring up the Hill case. I have heard, I think, a tape of his, or portions of the tape of his, wasn't he hypnotically regressed, and then there's a tape out there where he's screaming, and it definitely sounds like he's reliving something very horrific.
Yeah.
But a suction cup around the genitalia, I don't know, my mind just...
I think we shouldn't go there. But, you know, here's an important point of view here. Okay, we have a lot of people who have made the claim or they have the feeling that they've been abducted. And, of course, we have, as I said, these investigators, some of whom suggest that they are being groomed for hybrid aliens, you know, aliens in Earth people. Regardless, how do we get to the bottom of it? You know, we have a lot of troubled people out there who need some kind of treatment, who need some kind of, as they say, I won't want to use that term, need some kind of understanding of what happened to them. How do we get there?
Well, I'm wondering if the question of whether the therapeutic question is quite the same thing as the scientific or historical question. I mean, that there is what I call the scientific / historical question of just what did create these memories. And I'm going to assume for a moment it was not leading questions by the hypnotist, which is a hypothesis that also needs to be taken seriously.
I'll tell you what, not to interrupt you, David, I want to get into that and explore the possibilities in our next segment. We want you to participate in our Paracast forums. Yes, we do. Here's how you do it. Go to forum.paracast.com. That is forum.paracast.com. Once you're there, you give yourself a unique username to sign up. You can't use Gene Steinberg. I don't even think you can use Captain Marvel. But give yourself a name, and then we invite you to read and participate in our forums. We have David Halperin. The book is Journal of a UFO Investigator, a novel. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNLive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNLive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24/7. You heard me right, every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNLive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.